All
Oh,
right,
great.
Lauren, welcome.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I will officially call the September meeting of the Audit Finance Committee together in to order. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. I will do a roll call of the members. I'm Susan Martin, and obviously I'm present. Mike Angelini, not present. Lawrence Davis.
Lawrence, present.
Peter Lisi.
Present.
Sarah Sanders said she could not make it. And Mark Bohalik. Mark? Present.
Sorry, I'm here. Yeah, present.
Okay. All right, thank you. Individuals must state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. In the event this meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether the meeting will be adjourned or canceled or the time the meeting will resume. So with that, the first order of business is to approve the minutes of our last meeting, which was held on June 21st. Those minutes were in the package that were sent out to you. Can I ask for a motion for approval of those minutes?
So moved.
Does anybody
Second.
have any? Thank you, Mark. Anybody have any comments, edits, corrections? No? Okay, I think Peter second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, meeting minutes are approved as written. Next agenda item is the independent audit presentation, and I'm going to turn it over to Charles to just say a few words.
Yeah, thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good to see everyone again. I wanted to start off with a big thank you as we are, as we've worked through the audit, a lot of hard work from the finance team. Joanne is here on the call, and a lot of hard work from the audit team. And two of those members are here as well, Tom and Lindsay. So good to see you all. As you know, this is my first Audit Finance Committee, so certainly my first audit. I learned a lot. It's in some ways it's kind of good to have the audit at the front end of my experience with CHIFA. You learn a lot and you have to learn fast. So I was grateful to have that experience and grateful for what everyone was able to teach me and show me. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Joanne. She's going to discuss the or pr provide some commentary on the management discussion and analysis for CHIFA, and then it'll go over to Tom and team for their presentation.
Right. Good afternoon. Thank you all very much. I will be providing a brief summary of the June 30 CHIFA financials. The CHIFA CDC will be presented a little later at its annual meeting this afternoon, and Cheslin CSLF will be presented separately at their board meetings tomorrow. So I'm going to be referencing numbers on the statement of net position, which is your Schedule 2. It's page 77 of the PDF. Or page 51 of the printed report. Operating revenue. So year over year, CHIFA had, oops, did I? Oh, there we go. Sorry. Year over year, CHIFA had a slight increase in operating revenues over operating expenses. The operating revenues remained level year over year at about 7.7 million and budgeted at 7.6 million. This is about 97% of the revenues are generated from the administrative fees. In 2023, there were nine new bond offerings that were closed, which totaled approximately $289 million. This compares to $890 million in the previous year. 83% of these new deals in 23 were all new money deals. This is approximately 16% over last year's on a percentage basis. In addition, in 2023, CHIFA issued one more revolving loan. It was $50,000 at the new rate, which is 3.75%. Total loans issued since we began the program in 2021 is 800,000. And at year end, 398,000 remained outstanding. The initial program issued loans at 1.5%, and that yielded us a whole $1,000 this year. Operating expenses year over year increased by a mere $53,000 from $3.9 million to $4.0 million, but remained under budget by $215,000. Total operating income remained level at $3.7 million year over year, and non-operating income increased by $600,000, primarily due to the increase in the income, the interest rates on the investments this year. The change in net position for 2023 after grant funding of $3 million is a gain of $1.2 million compared to the net gain last year of 0.7. That is it for the statement of net position, unless you have any questions. We're going to go to page 76, which is a few notes on the balance sheet. The administrative fee receivable decreased by 0.6 million. This typically reflects just timing. It's the bills go out in June, and we attempt to get them all in as quickly as possible through June, and they sometimes arrive a little bit later. So that accounts for the decrease. We had more receivables last year. Due from CDC, it increased by 6. This is predominantly all support services. $491 million of current restricted assets, which are cash and investment, represent the construction funds that are held on behalf of our institution. This is a decrease of about $80 million from $571 million that we held on their behalf last year. Total net position for Chiva at June 30 is $16.5 million. That is all the notes I have. Any questions? If not, I would like to thank Tom and his whole team as well. There's a lot that goes into each of these individual entities, and all the units are separate, and it makes for a lot of work in a very short period of time. Tom, his team, Lindsay, Nicole, thank you all for everything that you did to get us here on time. Thank you. Tom, up to you.
All right. Thanks, Joanne. And again, we'll echo Charles and your comments. Thank you to your team for a quick turnaround time and getting this completed and helping us to be here. So Lindsay Tesler is audit manager with the firm. She, her and Nicole pretty much run the day-to-day aspects of the audit and primarily responsible for making sure that we get done on time. I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay in just a second. She has a slide deck to go over this, the summary for everyone. Reminder, the audit we issue is the consolidated audit. So the full audit is not only Chiva, but also Chesla and CSLF. And I know that the focus right now is on Chiva, but you may hear, you know, some of the consolidated information as well. Remember, opinion covers all of it. So with that, I'll hand it over to Lindsay. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to, I guess, chime in as we go or save them to the end. So, Lindsay.
Thanks, Tom. Hi, I'm Lindsay. I'm one of the audit managers on the account. I'm going to try to share my screen to do the PowerPoint. Everybody able to see?
Oh, thank you.
Yes, okay. All right, the first piece here are audit objectives and planning the audit. We're required to conduct our audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America and government auditing standards. We also obtain an understanding of internal control, but our audit was not designed to provide assurance on internal control or to identify reportable conditions. At the beginning of our audit, we perform a risk assessment and we focus our audit efforts on higher risk and higher dollar areas and perform limited testing on some of the lower risk and lower dollar areas. And throughout the audit, we remain cognizant of fraud risk. Our audit approach included gaining an understanding of the controls designed to prevent, deter, and detect fraud. This is just an overview of our audit results. As we mentioned, our audit work is substantially complete. The initial draft of the financial statements has been reviewed by management and I believe was included in the packet for today. It's unlikely there will be any changes to our audit conclusions based on any final reviews of the financial statements. And our opinion will conclude that the financial statements are presented fairly in accordance with U.S. generally accepted accounting principles. During the audit, we did have an IT control specialist from our team review the authority's IT environment and the general IT related controls. As everybody has mentioned, we had no difficulties dealing with management and completing the audit. As Tom mentioned, you know, thank you very much to Joanne and Charles and team. We couldn't have done it without you guys, so we appreciate all of your help. Any adjusting journal entries were discussed with management, and there were no uncorrected misstatements. These are just some of our required communications. I won't go through all of them with you, but just some of the highlights. The significant accounting policies are appropriate, and they have been consistently applied year over year. There were no new accounting policies adopted in 2023, and the application of existing accounting policies was not changed. We did not note any instances of fraud or illegal acts. No material weaknesses were identified, and we can confirm to you that we are independent with respect to the authority under all relevant professional and regulatory standards. These are some of the significant audit areas that we identified and focused our procedures on during the year. The first one being conduit debt. We read all the official statements and the supporting documentation for the private and the non-private placements, and as well as the administrative fee revenue for CHIFA. The allowance for uncollectible amounts. So we audited the calculations and determined that the allowance allocations were appropriate. We also audited the loans and the provision for the uncollectible amounts. The collection rates have been very strong. There are very few delinquencies in the portfolio, and the federal loans also have a guarantee. As far as new bonds issued, we read the official statements during the year and reviewed the accounting transactions. Administrative fees, so we recalculated the expected fees based on the outstanding conduit debt portfolio at June 30th. And accounted for any changes such as repayments and new debt issued. There were no changes to the policy during the year. And the last piece here, student loans. So we audited the balance of student loans and the transactions during the year. We walked through the internal controls with the team and reconciled and tied out the third-party reports to the general ledger. We also selected some monthly receipts and tested the transaction by comparing them to the general ledger as well as the servicer reports. A couple more significant accounting estimates. So the allowance for uncollectible accounts. As I mentioned, we reviewed the assumptions used in the calculations, which involve both historical data and calculations based on the current outstanding balances. And the interest payments due on the CSLF bonds in future year, the approximate future interest payments were estimated based on an average of the interest rates during the most recent fiscal year. These are just a few financial statement highlights. I know Joanne went through a lot of the numbers, so I won't spend too much time here. Pretty much a lot of the numbers were pretty consistent with the prior year. Overall, the net position increased for CHIFA and CHESLA, decreased in CSLF, but overall a total positive change in the net position. And then this just breaks out some of the cash flows. You can see overall the change in cash was not too big year over year. Current and emerging accounting issues, there was only one GASB statement that was applicable this year, GASB 96. For accounting and financial reporting for subscription-based information technology arrangements. We had many discussions with Joanne and Charles about this, and we noted that CHIFA does not have any subscriptions that were applicable under this standard, so no adjustments needed to be made to the financial statements.
Excuse me, Lindsay, excuse me. This is Peter Lisi. I'm just kind of curious. I know that that didn't apply to us, but what type of subscription would fall under that requirement?
So it would be anything that was over a year contract. So there were a lot of contracts that Joanne kind of floated about, you know, even Zoom or something like that would apply, but because it's renewed every year. But if you had entered into, you know, maybe like a 3-year contract or something like that, that would be applicable. And that would have had to be recorded.
Okay, thank you.
And then the last slide here, the current and emerging accounting issues, just a couple in the pipeline, GASB 100 and 101. We don't expect them to be material to the financial statements, but obviously as they get closer, we'll keep in close contact with Joanne and Charles and make sure that if anything needs to be updated for these, it will be. Anybody has any questions?
Any questions or comments?
None from me.
We're a quiet group. Anything else on the audit before we go into executive session?
I was just going to ask if you're doing an executive session. That's all.
We are.
Okay.
Nobody has any questions or comments? Anything else, Charles, or anybody wants to add? Joanne, no?
Based on the version that was delivered to you, there were two very minor changes to commentary that we've provided to Tom and team, and they put them into effect, but they had no bearing on the numbers in the financial statements.
Okay. Well, right. Did someone want to say something? Okay. So I assume, Kara, are you going to get us into the executive session with the auditors, or how are we doing that?
Yes, I will, but do you guys need to vote on it?
I'll make a motion that we move into executive session for the purpose of discussing audit with Whittlesey. Is that appropriate, Denise?
And management's performance.
And management's performance. Okay, I'll move that.
Second by Lawrence.
Do we need a motion to go back into the main meeting?
No, you can just state you're back in regular meeting, Susan. Executive session, and that no votes were taken.
No votes were taken.
Okay, so we are back in the regular session. We have come out of executive session where no votes were taken.
Yep.
So now we are to move on to the investment policy.
Yes.
Okay. So that is the next item on our agenda. And I believe Charles is going to walk us through the changes. They were also included in your packet in a red line version, as well as a revised clean copy.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Kara. You got it up on the screen. So every 2 years, we revisit the investment policy for all three organizations, CHIFA, CHESLA, and CSLF. So we're going to look at CHIFA today. In getting the red line version, what we're offering you there is transparency, right? But we're also offering you a document with a lot of marking on it, and it looks like an extraordinary amount of changes. But some of that is just moving things around in the document, right? So it's removed here and placed over here, and it looks like a lot of activity. Really what you see in this document is an effort to promote three things. So one is consistency, right? And that's consistency across the investment policy of the three organizations. And it's also consistency in the way that we, you know, present the investment policy. Specifically, we want to here in CHIFA highlight that investment policy is driven by the indentures, really. Then on the back end, you know, we list some details about how investments can be made, but we wanted to bring to the forefront in this policy that first and foremost, the indenture is what dictates how the investments are done. A couple of other changes that you may see is to create a consistency on the different types of investments between the three organizations, with an emphasis on removing some risk, and also creating a more straightforward approach. So in doing so, one of the things that we removed was the repurchase, being able to invest in repurchases. That has come out of the general fund investment choices, as well as for the bonds. And then it is not part of investments with the two other organizations. And then as a third item, you'll see where my title is going in, sometimes referenced as investment officer, as part of my responsibilities with the organization. So as we go through the documents, with the red line, you'll see the changes and you'll see the comments on the right. The comments can be helpful in understanding some of those elements that I just discussed that we tried to build in when we made these changes. And then, of course, the clean copy is there because it's a lot easier to read. And it is, in fact, what you guys will be voting on at the end. So with that being said, if we could just look at a couple of the changes, feel free to ask questions as we move through the document. Kara, if you would hop over to page 90. And so here at the top, is the example of my title going in, right? So this is a change that will be in all three of the documents because that title wasn't in there before. It was referring to investment officer, right? So investment officer is not an official position in our organization. So this is tying the role to the responsibility. And also on this page, you'll see down below two other changes, right? Where we're striking the word subsidiary, that there's no need for that to be in there as the other organizations have their own policies. And also at the bottom there, you can see there's some language that was added. And this is just an example of consistency, right? This language was in the other two policies in the same section, but it wasn't here. So we're just sort of bringing it all together. Kara, if you can flip over to page 91, the next page. And so here on 91 and then carrying over into 92, you can see all the listings of the specific investment choices related to the bond indentures that has been removed, and it's moved to Appendix 3A. And the reason why we did this is, once again, consistency with the other organizations. They do not have their details listed until you move to an appendix. Also, it's designed to just focus on that statement about, if you can go back, Kara, the statement that remains there that's highlighted in pink about the indentures dictating our investment choices first and foremost. So it's meant to highlight that and not to bring in other elements of investment to think that, to take away from the indenture and what it says. And then flipping to the next page, we talked about those changes at the top that moved to the appendix. And then once again, here's another permissible investments, right, being inserted so that it lines up with what Chesla and CSLF also say. And then I'll point to one more thing here on page 94. And so, as I alluded to here, you can see the repurchase agreements being stricken out. And this is, I believe this is the general. Yes, this is the general fund. So that's being removed there, as well as being removed from what was the listing of the indenture investments that moved to Appendix 3A. And then also below this, you can see that the qualified guaranteed investment contracts, that has been removed as an option from the general fund. It stays in the indentured choices, but it's being removed here simply because it, you know, it adds that level of complexity. It adds a little bit more risk that we don't really need to go to, right? I mean, the other obligations that are listed here are providing very good rates of return these days. They provide the sort of security and risk profile that we're looking for in these investments without having to go to those extra areas.
So can I just ask a question, Charles?
Sure.
So staff is making the recommendation to remove those options and just to limit risk a little bit?
Yes.
Feeling that through, okay.
Okay. I think that sort of covers the main elements of the changes here. What you see in the appendixes is largely the same as it was before, except that we removed the appendix on the repurchase agreements, and then we added the detailed indenture investment options. We took it out of the front and put it into Appendix 3A. Otherwise, they're largely unchanged.
Charles, this is Lawrence. Can we go back to something?
Of course.
You removed GICS. You removed GICS as an investment option. Was that because of the contract itself or the fact that you're looking at the insurance entity?
So it's removed from the general fund. It's not removed from indenture-based investments, right? So it's only in the general fund, and it's there largely just because it, you know, we don't feel that we need that additional level of complexity in the investment structure.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
No.
All right. So, So this is an action item that would require approval from the committee.
There's a resolution on the last page of the proposed policy.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say, page 108 of the package, there was a resolution. I believe that we are asking this committee to recommend this resolution to the full board. Is that correct? Because the resolution talks about the board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there any other questions before we move on to that? Comments, thoughts? There's a lot of redlining in there. So, all right, if there aren't any, as I said, on page 108, there was a resolution and we're looking for a motion from this committee to recommend to the full board the acceptance of this resolution.
I'll move that, Susan.
Thank you, Peter.
Lawrence is second.
Thank you, Lawrence. Okay, if there aren't any further questions or issues, everybody in favor, all in favor?
Aye.
Recommending.
Aye.
Okay. So I guess we will bring this to the full board at the next meeting. Is that correct?
Okay. Denise, this is Peter. Just a question on that. Does this need to be approved by the full board, or I thought it was just presented as approved by the audit finance committee? Is there a separate vote required by the full board?
Yes, the board needs to approve it. That's what,
Okay. So I guess during my report, Peter, after I go through what we discussed, I'll mention that there was a resolution and then you'll ask for it to be read.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving right along then, are there any management updates for the committee?
Yes, I have a few updates to cover. You know, these are changes that have been or things that are going on recently just to keep you apprised. So we are working with a vendor, Emphasis, with the objective of them providing a bridge between our accounting system and all the information that we get from trustee statements, investment statements. That bridge exists with our old accounting system. As we move away from our former accounting system to the new one, Emphasis is going to provide that bridge going forward. And in the capital budget for this year, there was a $16,000 item for Emphasis to do some of the coding necessary in order to provide the bridge. It turns out that that was a low estimate. They have recently come forward with a full proposal, and it is now at $40,000. So this is a $24,000 increase to a capital item that had been previously budgeted. Bringing this to you as informational purposes, if you think about the impact on the operating budget, the depreciation on a $24,000 change is below the materiality threshold. But we still wanted you to be aware of this. The overall capital budget is approximately $131,000. So this addition does represent a large percentage increase. But as you know, capital budgets tend to fluctuate year over year. Last year, there were actually no capital adds. So this year, the majority of the ads relate to the move. And as you know, with the change in our new location, we had come to the board last month to talk about a change in the lease for the new location. There's also going to be, most likely, changes resulting in the expenses as part of the capital budget for the move. So it remains to be seen where the capital budget will go, but we know for this one item, we did need to increase the charge that Emphasis will have to complete this work. So just wanted to make you aware of that.
Thank you. Any other items?
On that? Yeah, so I wanted to let you know about Barry Dunn, our internal auditors. They had originally planned to come to this session months ago. We have now moved their attendance to November. I think it was a very good idea given the amount that we had to cover today. They're going to be looking at five different, providing review over five different areas that includes childcare, the FELP program in CSLF, scholarship program in CHESLA, outside vendors, contracted vendors for CHESLA and CSLF, as well as a bond covenant analysis within CHIFA. So they are looking at a lot of different things. It's underway now, and then they will present their findings in November. And then the last thing is an update on IT work. Rob and team have been doing a lot of great things to help us continue to improve our systems. One of the big things right now is the move, right? So Rob is engaged on ensuring that we have everything we need in place for a smooth transition. I know he's involved in that today after having gone to the site yesterday. They've also been working on the backup environment. So getting a cloud backup is one of the recommendations that we've had from internal audit, and they're working on putting that in place. And that has involved working with a vendor, CT Comp, to make sure that, and doing testing to make sure that we can transition onto the cloud as a backup source. We also have a new information security policy that's in place. And so this policy will require us to put in place many things around the IT systems. For example, an inventory of access. Who has access to what systems? Who has access to what physical equipment? What are the systems in place and how are they backed up? And then once we have that baseline, then looking at making sure that we have a change management system in place. If somebody wants to change something, we need to make sure that we have approval and that it's recorded and that we have a good way to trace it. Incident response is also important. As soon as news is out, about something happening somewhere, we need to be able to record a response and demonstrate that we've done our research and mitigation around how we're going to react to incidents. And then finally, a risk management consideration. So thinking about things like penetration testing, right? Can anybody get in to our systems? Let's test that. And also thinking about things like vulnerability, right? So we use a lot of software. There's vulnerability out there in that software. We're going to test it. Hopefully there's patches in place that we can get from the vendors or suggest that we get those patches. It's all about being proactive, really. You know, building a system that's strong and then, you know, in advance, not being reactive, not waiting on something to happen or something to change and then fixing it. So, and then another big piece of that is updating our operating environment to Windows 2022. Rob and his team have been very active in that. We've got some systems that we need to advance along, like I talked about with the legacy accounting system, so that we can get everything onto the Windows 2022 environment. So lots of moving parts there, but great progress and great progress towards some of the recommendations that we've had for improvements. There you go. Right.
Questions?
No questions, just an observation. As you say, Charles, there's a lot of moving parts, and I really appreciate that update that you just provided, you know, aside from the investment policy stuff. Appreciate all those updates. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I guess if I'm allowed to, I would just like to share some feedback from the auditors. Is that allowed?
Yeah.
From our executive session. Okay. I never know in this area, but you know, really just wanted to say to Joanne, Charles, and certainly Jeanette and everybody else that the auditors were very complimentary of everybody's efforts and work. You know, they recognized and shared with us that there is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes and that everybody was very cooperative, helpful, provided things in a timely fashion, you know, which obviously resulted in the good, clean, and timely audit. So on behalf of the committee, I just wanted to say thank you. Joanne, I know you've spent a lot of this year on your own, and Charles, you jumped in kind of at the last minute, but everybody's efforts were certainly recognized, and we just want to recognize that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for a year and job well done.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else from the committee members? Does any of the staff want to add anything?
Susan, I do. I'm sorry. I just couldn't get off mute. I have That's one quick okay. question for Denise. Denise, does this committee need to approve a motion to advance the audit to the board for full approval?
Yes, it should approve the audit for advancement to the board.
Okay. Then thank you. I'll ask for that motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second,
Lawrence. Okay. If any further discussion, comments, or questions? If not, all in favor of recommending to the board approval of the draft audit that we just reviewed?
Aye.
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 Okay. So that motion carries, and we'll bring that forward in the next meeting as well.
Great. Okay.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, our next meeting is November 15th. And as Charles just said, we'll be hearing a lot from the reports on the internal audits.
Okay, great.
Can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting, please?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Okay, thank you, everyone. I guess we'll see everyone. Is it at 1:30?
At 1:30.
1:30.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Bye.